نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد،
Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, we have reached in the lessons of al-fiqh to the point where we were talking about the disliked actions or disliked acts during the prayer. And as we know that the disliked acts are acts that are not haram to do, not forbidden, but they are disliked actually. We have five layers or five categories: the forbidden, the disliked, the halal, the liked, and the wajib or the obligatory. So, what are the five categories again? In order. The haram or the forbidden is number one. Number two, in the second layer or in the second level, comes the disliked, and then in the third layer comes the halal or the thing which is okay to do, and then the fourth layer comes the liked thing, which is the thing which it is liked that you do, something that it is liked that you do, and the fifth layer is the obligatory act, which is the thing that you have to do. What are the disliked acts of the prayer? Okay, actually, one of the disliked acts of the prayer is that you leave a sunnah of the prayer. We know that the sunnah, that the prayer has obligatory acts and sunnah acts. Like one of the sunnah acts is to raise the hands when you do the prayer. Sunnah act. So leaving that act is that disliked act. Putting your right hand over your left hand in the prayer is a liked act. The prayer of inaugurating the prayer, the supplication of inaugurating the prayer or opening the prayer. All these are sunnahs. As we learned before, there are acts that are not obligatory, but if you do, you are doing the sunnah. So one of the disliked acts is leaving these acts. One of the opinions of the scholars says that leaving the sunnah is makruh or disliked. Absolutely, not only in the prayer. Leaving the sunnah generally in any act is a disliked act. So most of the scholars say that leaving the leaving a liked act is a disliked act. Leaving a sunnah is a disliked act, because we know that the sunnah is a liked act, a good act, a liked act. So leaving a liked act is a disliked act.
طيب قال ويكره له ايضا بالاضافه الى ترك السنن هناك مكروهات اشياء طلب
منه okay, there are other disliked acts. What are these other disliked acts?
يكره له ايضا ما يأكل. قال اولا العبث بثوبه او ببدنه
Fumbling around or fidgeting with one's clothing or one's body is disliked unless there is some need to do so.
إلا إذا دعت إليه الحاجة فإنه حينئذ لا يكره يعني لم يكن على سبيل يعني العبث وإنما مثلا يعني على سبيل الحركة احتاج إليها فإذا احتاج لا يكون مكروه.
So if you need to do some movement or do some fidgeting or do some fumbling around with your fingers and your body and unnecessary movements with your hand and your fingers and stuff like that, if you need to do it really for a need, like you want to scratch a wound or something that really requires something like fumbling or fidgeting with your clothing or stuff like that. Necessarily, so if you need to do it, otherwise you don't.
Mu'ayyiqib
says that I asked the Prophet about dusting away the pebbles the pillows during the prayer. And the Prophet said, do not dust away the pillows while you are praying. But if you must do it, then do it only once in order to level the pillows. This is narrated by the group or related to the group.
وربما يفاجئ الإنسان عندما يريد أن يسجد أن الموضع الذي سيسجد عليه في حصى غير يعني مستوي وغير يعني مستقيم على درجة
واحدة
ستؤلمه
حصى بارزة
إذا سجد عليها
make movements with your hands and stuff like that is to level the pebbles according to the Prophet here. When you pebble, when you don't need to dust away the pebbles, but if you want to level them in the ground, you can do that. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. If you want to level these pebbles, it's okay. Otherwise, you shouldn't dust them away.
فإن كنت لابد فاعلا فواحد تسوية الحصى مرة واحدة فقط لغرض تسوية الحصى حتى لا يؤذيك الحصى عند السجود ولا. قالوا عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا قام أحدكم إلى الصلاة فإن الرحمة تواجهه فلا يمسح الحصى. أخرجه أحمد وأصحاب السنن. إذا قام أحدكم إلى الصلاة فإن الرحمة تواجهه فلا يمسح الحصى. طيب هذا الحديث يعني الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله قال يعني بهذا اللفظ يعني فيه ضعف ولكن جاء لفظ آخر قريب له بسند صحيح عند الإمام أحمد رحمه الله. قالوا عن أم سلمة رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لغلام له يقال له يسار وكان قد نفخ في الصلاة.
Narrates that or relates that she had a slave called Yasar, and Yasar would puff out some of the air during the prayer. So the Prophet told him, may Allah fill your face with dust. This is narrated by Ahmad. Why the Prophet told him this? The Prophet told him this, that may Allah fill your face with dust for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
لكن يغني عنه الأحاديث السابقة التي تفيد أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن تسوية الحصى إلا مرة واحدة. إذن الخلاصة
So the point here that we're trying to make is that fidgeting or fumbling around or about with your fingers and your hands and leveling dust and dusting away or playing with the clothes and stuff like that is not a liked act, and it is a dislike act, and you should not do it unless you really need to do that. Another disliked act is placing one's hands on hips during the prayer. Abu Hurairah narrated that the Prophet prohibited putting one's hands on one's hips during the prayer.
عن الاختصار في الصلاة. نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الاختصار في الصلاة. رواه أبو داود. وقال يعني يضع يده على خاصرته. يضع يده على خاصرته. يعني من اللطائف يعني كان.
One of the funny things that Sheikh Walid Bassiouni mentioned before, that one of the teachers actually was explaining that one of the teachers was explaining that hadith that the Prophet ﷺ forbade us or prohibited us from putting one's hips in the prayer. Actually, this act is called ikhtisar. And ikhtisar has got two meanings in Arabic. Ikhtisar either means to put your hands on your hips or to summarize a story or to summarize something. So the teacher understood or misunderstood, actually the misunderstood the hadith and thought that ikhtisar here means do not summarize the prayer, do not go fast in the prayer.
أو لتخطفن أبصارهم.
Okay, another third this like act is raising one's sight to the sky or upwards. Abu Huraira reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, those who raise their sights to the sky during the prayer should stop doing so, or their sight may be taken away. This is narrated by Ahmad, Muslim, and Nasa'i.
قال أو لتخطفن أبصارهم. يعني هم متوعدون بأن تخطف أبصارهم يعني يفقدوا البصر فلا ترجع إليهم كما جاء في بعض الروايات أو لتخطفن أبصارهم فلا ترجع إليهم لا ترجع إليهم هذه الأبصار يعني هم متوعدون بهذا
المقدر. So this is a warning, if you're in a prayer you should never put your sight upwards or raise your sight to the sky, because there is a warning here that the Prophet ﷺ said those who raise their sight to the sky during the prayer should stop doing so, or their sight may be taken away.
صم بكم عمي مع أنهم يبصرون ولكن ذهب بصرهم بمعنى أنه لا ينتفع بهذا البصر.
And here actually taking the sight away does not necessarily mean taking the eyesight away, but probably taking the vision, taking the insight away, taking the iman away. Probably. Some people have the habit that Sheikh is showing us here. People, when they say سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا ولك الحمد, they raise their eyes high in the sky. But this is not a good habit. It is one disliked act, and here the hadith that we have has a warning against that. Brother was asking if this warning is concerning the Akhirah or the Judgment Day, but Sheikh says that there is nothing specific in the hadith that mentioned that, and Allah knows. The fourth disliked act is looking at something which distracts attention. This is very clear. Looking at something that distracts your attention during the prayer is something disliked to do. Aisha narrated that the Prophet ﷺ prayed in a clock which had some designs on it. He said, these designs have distracted me. Take this clock to Abu Jahl, the person who gave it to him, and bring me a plain clock.
منسوج من حرير وصفوف لكن ايه نسبة الحرير قليلة واكثره من الصوف وفيه نسبة قليلة من الحرير داخلة في النسيج وهذا النوع من الملابس يباح لبسه يعني اذا دخل الحرير في نسج القماش او في نسج
if the silk, the clock here is a garment made of silk, a very low percentage of silk and wool, and high percentage of wool, and such a garment is halal, because if the silk is used in a garment with a very low percentage, it makes it halal, not haram.
شيخ, الحرير الصناعي هل في كلام؟
الحرير الصناعي مباح.
He's asking about the synthetic silk. Is the synthetic silk halal or haram? She says it is halal, because the silk that we are forbidden to wear is the silk that is taken from a certain kind of worm, and that is the natural silk which is forbidden, not the synthetic silk, because the synthetic silk is one of the extracts of petroleum. It's a petroleum extract, it has got nothing to do with natural silk. So the natural silk is haram, but the synthetic silk is halal.
يحرم إيه الحلال لأن الأسماء لا تغير من حقيقة
not because it is named silk that makes it haram because when you get similarity in the names that does not mean that the thing that has a similar name to a forbidden thing is haram actually it is the nature of the thing not its name that makes it halal or haram so since it is silk it's called silk but yeah it is not haram because its nature is different than the nature of the real silk so naming conventions do not differentiate or do not make things that are halal haram or vice versa it also does not make things that are haram halal like for example interest is a different name for riba or usury but that does not make riba halal if you said that interest is halal because it has a different name that means you are committing a big sin so brother was asking about in some cases like for example in some ties you would buy the necktie and in the necktie it is written 100% silk but actually how can you differentiate between the synthetic and the natural silk here Sheikh says that the price makes the difference here the price of natural silk is very much high but the price of synthetic silk very much figurable and you can figure it out
اذا كان هناك مزارع لدودة القز فهو حريص يعني دودة القز بغض النظر انها يعني لا هذا ليس هو الحديث الصناعي زي مثلا الاسواب الدفه يعني مثلا المنتشره في اصواب الدفه ونحو من يعني اللي هي الاصواب البيضاء هذه كلها يعني
So all the garments that are made of synthetic silk are halal because they have nothing to do with the natural silk which is taken from a worm which is called the silk worm but the synthetic silk is taken from one of the petroleum extracts and so the one of the rules that we want to take care of and pay attention to and this is a very important rule in jurisprudence or in fiqh is that the origin of the things is the halal and the exceptions is the haram so the origin of the rule the original rule is to make everything halal and the exceptions are only the haram so the thing is halal until you know that it's haram not the other way around it's not that the thing is haram until you know it's halal no so the rule is the thing is halal until you know that it is haram not that the thing is haram until you know it's halal no If you see something and you don't know that if it is halal or haram, it is halal until you know that it is haram. I hope this is clear.
فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد ما صلى في هذه الخميصة قال شغلتني
or probably was distracted somehow he looked at them or by how I don't know but he was distracted so what did the Prophet do? The Prophet said these designs have distracted me take this clock to Abu Jahl and bring me a plain
clock وهذا الحديث له قصة يعني أن أبا جهل رضي الله عنه هو الذي كان أهدى إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
he gifted the prophet or he gave it as a gift to the prophet that clock he took
عن بجانب الخميصة هي الأنفس
one of them was precious or very expensive, and the other one was not that expensive. So he gave the one which was very expensive to the Prophet ﷺ, because he created the Prophet ﷺ, so he gave him the expensive one. So the Prophet ﷺ prayed in it, but he got distracted in his prayer because it was full of prints and designs. So he asked return it back to him and ask him for a plain one, or replace it with a plain one, because it was not the habit of the Prophet to return the gift. The Prophet would not return the gift, the Prophet would accept the gift. So he would accept the gift, and if something, when he noticed that there's something wrong with it for him, he did not return it back, he just told him to replace it. And it is of the habit of the Prophet to accept the gift or the present and give the balance of the bad with the better gift, or give back the present to the person who give him the present with a better one.
أن تستبدلها أو تطلب منه يعني شيئا آخر طيبا لخاطره.
Which now gives us a good rule here. If someone gifted you something, you should accept it. And if you don't like it for some certain reason, you can return it back to him and ask for a replacement. But do not return it back to him and say that you don't want it, because probably that will hurt him. Another hadith or another story. One woman from the companion women. She used to, well, actually she was divorced, or probably her husband died. So she started to receive proposals from companions to propose her to marriage, and she received a couple of proposals. One of them was from Muawiyah, and the other was from Abu Jahl. And there are actually three proposals, and the third one from a third companion. So each of them proposed her, but they didn't know that each of them is proposing her, because there is a rule, there is a hadith that says that you should not propose to a woman if you know that one of your brothers is proposing to her. If you know that one of your brothers in Islam is proposing to her. Again, the rule is that you should not propose to a woman if you know that your Muslim brother is proposing to her.
المستشار مؤتمن هذا من المواضع التي لا غيبة فيها يعني هي إذا استشير الإنسان في أمر خطبة
فهذا مقدم على She wanted to ask the Prophet ﷺ about these proposals, and which proposal should she give more attention, and which proposal should she accept. So the Prophet ﷺ answered her by a gesture, pointing at.
استشارت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في شأن هؤلاء الذين تقدموا لخطبته فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أبو جهل
فضراب بالنساء أبو جهل strikes the women and he does not leave his stick away. He carries a stick and all the time he strikes women. So he told the woman that Abu Jahl strikes the women and he does not leave his staff or his stick away.
كناية عن إيه
Which means that he frequently strikes women. So when the Prophet says that he does not leave his staff away, this is a metaphorical statement, means that that man frequently hits women. He hits them or he strikes them with this staff. He keeps striking them or hitting them with this staff or this stick. And Muawiyah is someone who doesn't have any money. But get married to Usama, who was the third companion was Usama. So he told her, do not get married. He told her the right opinion, which is that accept the proposal of Usama, because the other two, one of them hits women a lot and frequently strikes them with his staff, and the second one doesn't have money, poor, he's very poor and he doesn't have money, and the third one if Usama get married to him.
من الناس يعني هجرتهم قبائله
And the word Saluk, which means very poor in Arabic, is a word now used to call somebody names. So the brother was asking why the Prophet would use that word. Actually, it was not used to call any people names at that time because it was pure Arabic. It was not as slangish as nowadays. So the word Saluk used to be called for on the people that are deserted by their tribes and left poor, very poor to the extent that they cannot even afford their meals. So
يعني في الاستئناس بالوحوش وكذا يقول أحدهم عوى الذئب فاستأنست بالذئب إذ عوى وصوت إنسان فكدت أطيره.
And these people used to live in the desert left and right, and one of them even was giving a stanza or a piece of poetry saying that I would get more familiar with a wolf than a man, and with the barking off a wolf more than the sound of the voice of a man. So the word Saluk is now used to call somebody names, but it was not used for the same reason at that time, because at that time he used to use pure Arabic, not slangish Arabic.
فقال لها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أميطي قرامتي فإنه لا تزال تصاويره تعرض لي في صلاتي. قال لها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أميطي قرامتي.
البخاري also recorded that Anas said that Aisha had a curtain to cover the doorway of the house. So the Prophet said to her, remove your curtain for its pictures always distract me during my prayers. So she had a curtain, and this curtain had pictures. So the Prophet asked her to remove that picture away, because that curtain away, because the pictures in that curtain actually distracted him in the prayer.
الذي كتب يعني بهذا الخط ونحو هذا لا يفسد الصلاة، وإن كان طبعا هذا من مكروهات الصلاة، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كره هذا وطلب إنزال هذا السجن. وهذا لا يمنع أنه جاء في حديث آخر أن عائشة رضي الله عنها ذكرت سهوة لها بقران فيه تصاوير، وكان من الصور التي فيه صورة قطر.
Aisha had a cushion. Aisha covered a hole in the wall with a picture that had cats on it. So the Prophet ﷺ got very angry, and he didn't want even to enter the house until Aisha removed that picture away, and she stuffed a cushion with it. She stuffed a cushion with that picture, or with that textile picture. So she torn it apart, and she made it a stuffing to a cushion. So definitely that curtain didn't have live animals or live beings pictures, because we know that a live being's pictures is something forbidden. Okay, what about closing one's eyes? Some say that this act is disliked, while others hold that as allowed. Though disliked, those hadith, which state it is disliked, are not authentic.
Because
it is the sunnah that you look at the place or the position of your prostration, except for looking at your finger when you are doing the tashahud, you should always look at the position of your prostration during all the rak'ahs, because the Prophet ﷺ would do that, and he would look all the time to the position of his prostration, except when he is during the tashahud, because during the tashahud he would look at his finger, where his finger is moving in the tashahud.
طيب الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله له قول فيه توسط يعني في هذه المسألة. فالإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله يقول والصواب أن يقال
الإمام ابن القيم said that the correct position is if keeping one's eyes open does not affect one's attention, then it is preferred to keep them open. However, if there is something in front of the person, such as some ornament or decoration, which could affect his attention, then it is in no way to smack the clothes his eyes. In fact, under such circumstances, to say it is preferred to close one's eyes is more consistent with the principles and goals of the Sharia than to say than it is described. I hope this is understood. What does that mean? That Ibn Qayyim has a very much modest opinion here. He said that if you have nothing around you that would distract you from the prayer, then it would be more likely to open your eyes. But if you open your eyes and you have something around you that if you look at will distract you from the prayer, like a lot of this decorations or heavy ornaments around you, or stuff that would really distract you and get your mind busy with. So in that case, if it is not liked, it is at least okay to close your eyes.
Because
why do we say that it is probably disliked? Because we have never been given any trace or any thing or any story that says that the Prophet ﷺ, or any hadith that says that the Prophet ﷺ used to close his own eyes during the prayer. So the sunnah is not to close your own eyes during the prayer. Even if there is something that can that would distract you, the sunnah is not to close your eyes during the prayer. The sunnah is to look at the place of your prostration, and the sunnah is to look at your finger during the tashahud.
ثالثا الإشارة باليدين عند السلام.
Now a new point, number 6. One of the points that are disliked to do the prayer. What is it? Motioning with both hands while making the salutations or the tashahud. Sorry, actually, the tasleem. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So, Jabir ibn Samra said that we prayed behind the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, what is wrong with them that they make salutation with their hands as if they were the tails of horses? It is enough for you to place your hand on your thigh and say, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum. Because what people used to do is, like Sheikh is showing us now, and this is even common in some countries, and this is wrong. When they are saying Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, at the end of the prayer, they do like that. They turn their hands, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, which is wrong. Brother Abdul says that he has even seen some brothers here do it. This is one of the things that the Prophet specifically forbidden us from doing. So, because Jabir ibn Samra said that we used to pray behind the Prophet ﷺ. We were praying behind the Prophet ﷺ. We prayed behind the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, what is wrong with them that they make salutation with their hands as if they were the tails of horses?
كأنهم أذناب خيل شمس. شمس جمع شموس، والشموس هو النفور من الدواب.
And in the Arabic he said Khayrun Shams, or Shamus horses, and Shamus is a word in Arabic that means that this horse is a horse that is disobedient, and he disobeys the horse disobeys its owner. So here actually it's not clear in the English translation. Here in the English translation he just said horses, but no, actually in Arabic the Prophet dubbed these people or called these people as people like they are as the disobedient horses, or the horses that are disobedient to the extent that as soon as the owner rides them they would kick him away. So they would even run after their owner, and they are bad horses. So it's not only that they are horses, but they are even disobedient horses, or bad horses that are disobedient to their owners. So anyways, the Prophet ﷺ made an analogy of these people as a tale of the horses, of the disobedience of horses. It is enough for you to place your hand on your thigh and say, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum. So do not move your hands during doing the tasleem. The Prophet says that this is pretty enough.
السلام عليكم السلام عليكم يعني بين الصفحة أن هذا قد يكفي بالسلام، يمكن أن يكتفي بقول السلام عليكم مرة عن اليمين السلام عليكم
السلام عليكم السلام عليكم is enough. You don't need all the time to say السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. So it's only السلام عليكم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. We can say assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, or assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, or to the right hand, to the right side, assalamu alaikum rahmatullah wa barakatuh, and to the left side, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
ويجوز أيضا أن يكتفي بتسليمة واحدة.
It's also allowed that you do it only one time to the right hand side, not to the left hand side. So there are a lot of forms allowed for doing the tasleem, and the form that you are doing right now is okay too. So and sometimes the Prophet ﷺ would turn his head a little bit to the right, only a little bit to the right, with a very much narrow angle, saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, or assalamu alaikum, that's it. But when he would do two taslima, or do two salutations, he would go all the way to the right hand side, and all the way then to the left hand side. So again, when he would do it only once, he would turn his head a little bit with a narrow angle to the right and say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, or assalamu alaikum, and that's it. Or assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh to the right, and then assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to the left. All these are okay. The point here we're trying to make is that the Prophet ﷺ, when he prayed, he gave a for a prohibition, or he made a prohibition that you should not move your hands or motion your hands while doing the tasleem or the salutation. Brother Abdul Karim is telling us that some people would raise their heads and turn them because they have sore neck. If you have a sore neck, and you have to raise your head, is that something that would be disliked? Sheikh says that again, this is an excuse here. Raising your eyes because, or raising your side because of a sore neck, does not mean that this dislike is a disliked act, because there is an excuse. The number seven act, the seventh act, which is hated or disliked in the prayer, is covering the mouth and letting one's garment down until it touches the ground. Abu Huraira said that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited, said The word asadl is the name of the act of leaving your clothes until it touches the ground or floor.
Asadl
means leaving your clothes very much, or your garment very much down until it touches the ground. So and the other meaning of the word asadl is when you wear a garment with very long sleeves to the extent that you cover your hands under the
sleeves.
It is also hated in the prayer to cover your hands under your garment. You should not cover your hands or under your garment. Your hands should be out.
والحاكم وقال صحيح على شرط مسلم. قال الخطابي السبل إرسال الثوب حتى
الخطابي one of the scholars said that the word السبل means letting the garment down until it touches the ground.
أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما أسفل من ال الكعبين من الإزار ففي النار.
In another hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whichever below the heels of a garment is in the hellfire. Whatever is below the heels of a garment is in the hellfire. So whatever part of your garment below your heels is in the hellfire. So this hadith is a very important one. The garment should not be very down until it touches the floor or touches the ground. Whatever is behind or below, whatever is below the heels of your garment is in the hellfire. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said.
قال ثامنا الصلاة بحضرة الطعام من مكروهات الصلاة أيضا أن يصلي الإنسان في حضور الطعام. قال فعن عائشة رضي الله عنها
another disliked act here is performing the prayer while the food has been served. Aisha reported that the Prophet ﷺ said if dinner is served and the prayer is ready, start with the dinner first.
وأقيمت الصلاة فابدأوا بالعشاء رواه أحمد ومسلم.
حديث that we have to pay attention to. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if dinner is served and the prayer is ready, start with the dinner first.
حضر العشاء وصلاة العشاء تلاقيه ابدأوا بالعشاء قبل العشاء. الغرض طبعا من هذا أن يكون قلب الإنسان غير مشغول بهذا الطعام أثناء الصلاة.
And what was the reason behind that? The reason behind that is that if the dinner is being served, your mind will be away in the dinner. And probably if you smell the food too, your stomach will be away in the dinner. So you're not going to be able to concentrate in the prayer. You're not going to be able actually to concentrate in anything except the food. So you better take the food first and then go to prayer.
طبعا هنا يعني ذهب جمهور العلماء.
The vast majority of the scholars here
بتقديم الطعام على
said that
الصلاة محله ما إذا كان في الوقت
said that when you give priority to food over the prayer, that means that you should be within the time. Which means that if the time is critical and you're going to miss the prayer and the food is being served, so you have to go to the prayer before you miss the prayer. I hope this is understood. When would you give a priority to the food over the prayer? When you still have time to do the prayer after the food. But if you don't have time to do the prayer after the food and you would miss the prayer, so you should not do that. You should do the prayer first, perform the prayer, and then go to food. So the priority that you should give to food here is given to food when you have the time to do the prayer after eating the food. But some Shafi'iyya, some followers of Shafi'iyya, school of Shafi'i, went for the wording of the hadith saying that even if you're going to miss the prayer, you should also go for the food, because the Prophet ﷺ said that here. So they went for the words of the hadith and they did not really exactly tackle the meanings behind the hadith. So, but the correct thing is to say that if you're going to miss the prayer, you have to guarantee that your prayer is performed and then go for the food. But if you still have time and you guarantee that you will have time after taking the food to do the prayer, then you should take it first.
ولكن يعني إذا كان على فترات وكذا فهذا يعني عذر له حتى ولو أدى إلى ترك الصلاة في المسجد مع كونه قريبا من المسجد ويسمع الإقامة في المسجد والصلاة.
And actually, furthermore, it is it could be an excuse for you not to attend the congregational prayer for once. Not as a habit. What does that mean? That if you are at your home and you listen to the adhan, but the food is being served, so you have to attend the food first and then go to the prayer. So, and this is only if it is if it happens occasionally. That doesn't mean that it should be a habit. Do not bring it to the extent that it can be a habit, because if you do that daily, that will come up to the point of haram, because you should not leave the prayer for the food daily. You can do it only if it happens occasionally. I hope this is understood. Al-Khattabi said that the Prophet ﷺ ordered that one, Nafi reported that the food would be served for Ibn Umar while the Iqamah was being made, but he would not come to the prayer until he finished his meal, although he could hear the reciting of the Imam. This is narrated by Al-Bukhari. So this is okay, but in one condition, in a condition that you do not do that as a habit. You do not do that habitually. If that happened occasionally, this is okay, but you should not do that habitually. Al-Khattabi said that the Prophet ﷺ ordered that one should begin with one's meal in order to satisfy his need. In this way, he will come to the prayer in calm, and his desire or hunger will not disturb the completion or perfection of his ruku'ah and sujood and the rest of the acts of the prayer.
لماذا نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الصلاة بحضرة الطعام لهذه العلة حتى يعني لا ينشغل قلبه وفكره بهذا الطعام حتى يقوم إلى الصلاة ويصلي وهو خاشع ولا يعجل في صلاته. وطبعا الفقهاء هنا يتكلموا يعني في بعض التفصيلات مثل ما
لا actually the scholars went into more detail
حضر أمامه طعام غيره هل له أن يصلي بحضرة الطعام لم يوضع له وإنما وضع لغيره.
If the food is being served for somebody else, not for you, should you go and pray even the food is being served? Yes, because the food is not being served for you. Like if you are living with a roommate and the roommate is serving food for himself, that doesn't mean that you should. Food is being cooked or the food is still in the refrigerator or something like that, it is not being served right now. Do not wait until the food is being served and then say that I cannot go for prayer because the food is being served. That means you are trying to find an excuse. No, you should do the prayer as long as the food is not being served. But if the food is still being cooked or still in the refrigerator and you know that it will be served very soon, at some point of time, but that point of time has not come yet, so you better go for the prayer to guarantee that the prayer will be performed. Another hated or disliked act in the prayer, and this is something actually very common we have to pay attention to, is praying when one needs to answer the call of nature and one and other things that may distract a person. Sometimes some people their stomachs are very gassy, and what worsens that is when they go for food before the prayer, and then the food starts to develop gases, a lot of gases, and then they go into prayer while their stomachs are very much upset, and they withhold their gases inside to an extent that actually would Extract them away from the prayer. This is hated and disliked. Thawban reported that the Prophet ﷺ said there are three acts which are not allowed for a person to lead the people in a prayer, to lead the people in a prayer, and then make supplications for himself without including them. For then he would be dishonest to them. To look in, the second thing is to look inside a house without obtaining permission. For if he does so, it is as if he has already entered it without permission. And to offer prayer while he needs to answer the call of nature until he relieves himself. Sheikh is giving an example here for some imams who would pray for themselves without including the people behind him, and this is really hated. Like if you say, may Allah guide me, and the people behind you say Ameen, this is hated, because do not pray for yourself if you are the imam. You have to pray for all the people praying with you. So you should say, may Allah guide us, not say, may Allah guide me. If you are a leader of a prayer, if you are an imam of a prayer, it is hated or disliked that you say, may Allah guide me, or pray with or supplicate with the word me. You should supplicate with the word us. You should pray with the pronoun or supplicate with the pronoun of plural, because you are praying and you are a leader of a prayer. Brother, he says that in Surah Al-Fatiha, the pronouns of supplication are pronouns of plural. Pronouns of plural, not pronouns of singular. So if you pray or supplicate while you are an imam, you should supplicate with the pronoun of plural, not the pronoun of singular. The second thing which is hated for a person to do is to look into a house without, or look inside a house without obtaining the permission. For if he does so, it means that he has already entered without permission. So you should not look into a house. You should not look into a house before you get a permission. Even if there was, like, for example, and that happens most of the time, even if there was like an open window, you should not look through that open window, because if you do that without a permission, that means that you have already entered the house without a permission, and there is a great warning against those who do that. The Prophet said that those who look through the gaps of doors, those who look through the gaps or the cracks of doors, may Allah, and the people inside the house threw him with stones until they hurt his eyes, then they are clear. That means they are not sinful for doing that. The hadith means that if someone is eavesdropping, or someone is spying, or someone is looking through a door that has cracks or has gaps or has anything that would allow him to look through the door, and he looked through the door and the people inside the house threw him with stones or with anything that hurt his eyes or even broke his eyes, in that case he is they are not sinful, because he was doing something wrong in the first place. This is the meaning of the hadith.
يعني صحيحة الإسناد، لكن الجملة كانت قليلة يعني لا تصح. ولكن أيضا في موضوع النظر من خصاص الباب وكذا جاءت فيه أحاديث أخرى في هذا المعنى تؤيد هذا المعنى في نصوص أخرى. فيقال عند أحمد ومسلم
أحمد وأبي داود عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يصلي أحد في حضرته الطعام ولا one needs to answer the call of nature. So when you need to answer the call of nature and you know that you are a little bit urgent, what does it mean urgent? That you are in need to go now and answer the call of nature. Do not go for prayer, because you know that if you go for prayer, you will still not be able to concentrate in the prayer, and you'll be thinking all the time, actually not thinking, or you'll be all the time withholding either your gases or your urine or whatever that is really hated or disliked. And that falsifies and invalidates the tranquility which is a part and parcel of the prayer. You will not be as reassured, or you'll not be as slow enough or sure enough in the prayer, because actually the acts of the prayer require you to be sure enough and slow enough to do them in a sure manner and tranquilized manner. And if withholding the gases, or withholding the urine, or withholding the urine or gases makes you feel that you are not going to be able to pray with tranquility and with a sure way or a slow manner, then you should not go into the prayer until you go to the restroom and answer the call of nature. And then when you come back, you pray with the sureness and the slowness that you are used to. What is one of the other disliked acts or hated acts in the prayer is when you pray when you are overcome by sleeping. What does that mean? That if you are really in need to go to sleep and you feel very, very sleepy, you should not go for the prayer. Here, Aisha reported the Prophet said, when one of you becomes drowsy in the prayer, he should lie down until he is fresh again. Otherwise, he will not know if he is asking forgiveness or verifying himself. For example, you would be very, very much drowsy, and you feel very sleepy, and you feel you want to go to sleep, but yet you go to prayer, and in the prayer, instead of supplicating and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, you may ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the hellfire. You never know, because you are drowsy enough not to know what exactly you're uttering, what are you uttering, or what are you saying. So the Prophet here says that when one of you becomes drowsy in prayer, he should lie down until he is fresh again. Otherwise, he will not know if he is asking for forgiveness, or if he is asking forgiveness or vilifying himself. Rather than asking for forgiveness, you ask for the hellfire, because you don't know what you're saying, because you're very sleepy to the extent that you don't know what you're saying. Another hadith here narrated by Abu Huraira, he said that the Prophet said, when one of you gets up at night for prayer and his tongue falters in reciting the prayer, and in reciting the Quran, and he is not certain about what he is reciting, he should sleep. What does that mean? That means that if you are sleeping during night and then you woke up or got up for the prayer, and then you were very much drowsy to the extent that you did not know what are you reciting, then you should stop and go to sleep, because you probably were recite wrong, totally wrong recitation. The last and the 11th point here, which is disliked or hated in the prayer, is praying at a fixed place in the mosque, except in the case of the imam. What does that mean? You should not appoint yourself or assign yourself a place in the mosque to always pray at, because it is of the sunnah to diversify or to move from a place to a place in different prayers. It is only the imam who is excused or allowed to appoint himself or to choose for himself a certain place to pray in or pray at. The Prophet ﷺ asked us not to do so in a hadith here narrated by Abdul Rahman ibn Sahl ibn Shahbal, when he said that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited picking like a crow while prostrating, imitating a lion's manner of sitting, and a man to pick a special place in the mosque to pray, like a camel has his own place to sit. So the Prophet ﷺ prohibited picking like a crow while prostrating, or imitating a lion's manner of sitting. And he also prohibited a man to pick a special place in the mosque to pray, like a camel has his own place to sit.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شبهها بنقرات الغراب.
What does that mean, picking like a crow? You know the crow? The crow actually puts its beak, very fast to pick the grain from the ground. He puts his beak very fast to pick the grain from the ground. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade us to prostrate like the crow picks the grain from the ground, because he does that very fast. So the Prophet forbade us from doing that fast. He wants us to do it slowly, surely. So the Prophet forbade us or prohibited us from picking like a crow and sitting like a lion in the prayer, because the lion sits in a way where it sits in a way that it puts its arms on the ground. And this is also forbidden. So you should not put your arms on the ground. You should actually raise them and put only your palms or your hands, because putting your arms makes it look like the way that the dog or the lion sits. So you only make the hands directed towards the Qibla and put all your hands on the ground, not all your arms. And the third thing which is forbidden is to pick one place in the mosque, a special place in the mosque to pray at, like the camel when it chooses its own place to sit. Because when the camel selects its own place to sit, it becomes its place for a long, long time. So you should not pick an own place for you and pray all the time in that place. It is of the sunnah to diversify the places where you pray. It is of the sunnah to go here and there and everywhere where to pray, not in a specific place in the mosque. And even the Prophet called it the settlement of the camel, because when the camel selects one place for prayer, it settles in there for when the camel selects one place for sitting, it sits in there, it settles in there for a long, long time. But when the human, when the Muslim prays, he should not pick one certain or special place in the mosque and pray all the time in that place. He should go around and pray in different places all the time. The brother was asking, even if that person was sick or ill and he needs to pray in some certain place, because that certain place is equipped probably with a chair or something that helps him pray. Sheikh says that this is again an excuse. Whenever there is an excuse, there is a license for doing things. Whenever there is an excuse, there is an allowance. If that chair cannot be moved around, then you have that person who is ill or sick has an excuse. Brother was asking, what about at-the-kaf? You know, at-the-kaf is the act of staying in the mosque for a certain period of time that you intend without going out or doing anything else except staying in the mosque. Sheikh says that if you want to stay in a certain place in the mosque, in a special place in the mosque during at-the-kaf, you would build yourself something like a tent using blankets or using whatever, but that place is yours, especially yours, and that is during some certain period of time, which is terminatory. It gets ended in a period of time, it is not for a long time. And this is in a condition that you should not distract the people around you, or that should not be in a place where people cannot pray. With this, we end speech about the disliked acts of the prayer, and we stop here and looking for questions. Brother was asking, is asking about what about the mu'adhin, or the one who calls for the prayer? Is he, does that rule apply to him? Sheikh says, the words of the hadith indicate that this is generic for all, except for the imam. The imam is the only one who can select a certain place, otherwise all the people other than the imam should not select certain places for themselves. And if the muezzin wants to keep close to the imam because he finished the iqamah or the adhan and he wants to go back to pray, so if he wants to move backward to pray, he will at least move backward within one or two places or three places. That's okay. If he keeps in one place and in two or three places, that's okay. But at least he should not keep himself in one place. Another thing, those who keep the Holy Quran and they want to stand behind the imam in a way that if the imam makes a mistake in the recitation, they would correct him. That is also allowed. It is also allowed for them to stay in the first row, but they are also recommended or ordered to change their places between one or two or three places. Brother is asking if someone is praying but he's sick, and the moment he joined the congregational prayer, he was okay, or the moment he started the prayer, he was okay. But as soon as he started the prayer, and when he went on praying, he started to feel some urgency, or he started to feel that he wants to go to the bathroom. Sheikh says that there are two cases here. If in a case that you can withhold your urine or your gases but in a condition that you do not invalidate or falsify the tranquility and the sureness of the prayer, that is okay. But in the second case, if you withhold the urine or the gases to the extent that will falsify the prayer, no, you should stop the prayer, go to the bathroom, and then come back to pray again. The issue of isbal, or letting the clothes or the garments down till they touch the ground of the floor, has passed through us before, or we passed through before, but we have two kinds of doing that act here. If it is for showing off, if it is for showing off, it is haram. But according to some scholars, they say it is absolutely haram, forbidden. Because some people cannot know for sure that they are not doing it for showing off. How can you make sure that you're not doing it for showing off? The Prophet ﷺ, when he told Abu Bakr as-Siddiq that you're not doing it for showing off, he meant Abu Bakr, because Abu Bakr is certainly a special case here. He is one of the greatest companions, if not the greatest ever. So when the Prophet ﷺ talked to Abu Bakr and told him that you're not doing it for showing off, he knew that Abu Bakr is certainly not doing it for showing off. But how can you know for sure that you are yourself not doing it for showing off? This is one thing. And also Abu Bakr was asking the question in a sense that he was not letting it going and touching the ground all the time, referring to his garment. No, actually he was watching his garment, and the moment it would touch the ground, he would lift it up again. So there is a major rule in our religion called the precaution. When you feel that there is something that would harm you and your religion, or harm your deeds, your good deeds, you better take precaution and don't do it.